Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Well, speaking of that very movie, our next guest has spent the last 7 years of his life producing it. A film about a British parliamentarian who had a mission that no one could stop. Amazing Grace is the name of the film. It opens up in cinemas this week. It's all about the life of William Wilberforce, who saw Britain's slave trade abolished, and the film's co-producer is Ken Wales, who joins us now. Ken, great to have you join us.
Sheridan, it's good to be with you.
That's a long time to spend on one project, isn't it? 7 years.
Well, it is 7 years, although good stuff takes a long time. When I did Christie, the television series that did so well on CBS and internationally, that was the result of a 19-year labor.
Okay.
So I'm doing better.
And you don't struggle to maintain interest when you're doing a project over that time?
Not because of the subject. This particular subject was fascinating. It is fascinating. It continues to be very much alive today because telling the story of William Wilberforce, who indeed entered Parliament at age 21, together with William Pitt, who became Prime Minister at 24, the two of them worked so hard to see that the laws were finally passed that ended the slave trade in 1807. So this is the 200th anniversary of the ending of the slave trade, and of course Wilberforce worked another 26 years to end slavery in the British Empire. So it was a magnificent journey, and he died 3 days after that last bill was passed. But he had another great objective, and that was to have a reform of manners, morals, decency, and a return to civility. And boy, do we need that today.
46 years to have your dream finally come about. I mean, that really is a tick for tenacity, perseverance, endurance.
It sure is. And I know how that feels a bit with the long time that it's taken me many times to get a feature film going. It's amazing any film ever gets made.
Yeah, sure. How close have you stayed to the historical record when it comes to the life of William Wilberforce in this particular movie?
Well, any time you get into doing a biopicture, a story of a life, about what someone did, especially in this case where William Wilberforce's work truly changed the world, you're tempted just to do it in a linear fashion of cradle to grave. But that would actually be very boring. So it is important to kind of juxtapose, rearrange slightly, sometimes often starting with a culminating moment and then moving on to even a future great ending, and move around as you tell the story, hopefully not making it too difficult for the viewers to follow, and using certain years on the screen or time references to place it. But collectively, it all adds up, even though it's juxtaposed, to the life of that person, so that you have a much more compelling story when it's dramatically told in that fashion.
Mm. Before I actually saw the movie, I was wondering just how interesting House of Commons scenes were going to be, you know, passing bills and the like, but these were really gripping.
Well, because it is actually interesting. Behind the scenes, all the manipulation of how things change and people bargaining and trading favors and all of that sort of thing. And then you have the iconoclast and the steadfast and ones who are trying to wheedle something down, all the various shenanigans that go on. And, of course, Wilberforce stayed the course, and he had to put down all the opposition to his bill because it was the center of commerce. The slave trade was very powerful. The world literally revolved around it at that time. So it was very courageous to do what he did, and he did so also with the very kind help and mentoring of John Newton, the former slave trader turned vicar, who indeed did write our favorite hymn, Amazing Grace.
Yes, and that is a fascinating collaboration there, because for a little while, William Wilberforce, when he became a Christian, thought maybe he should get out of politics, and yet it was John Newton who really encouraged him to stay in there and actually fight this particular battle.
Yes, it was, and it was also Newton, with the help of the Clapham Circle, Wilberforce's friends, who encouraged him to stay in Parliament, do not give up the fight, that indeed they put forth the concept that you could serve God and be in Parliament at the same time. That was a very new option. Nobody really had done much of that.
Is it true that he probably gave up the opportunity of becoming Prime Minister because he fought this fight?
Well, there may have been a very good inside chance of that. I think William Pitt died before Wilberforce, And Pitt urged him to don't give up the fight, keep on, even though the French Revolution and the revolution in the colonies, everything was kind of coming down around the world, so to speak. But Wilberforce knew that he had to stay true, and Pitt urged him to do that, even on his deathbed.
Well, our guest tonight on Open House is Ken Wales. He's the co-producer of this new movie, Amazing Grace, all about the life of William Wilberforce. Ken, Wilberforce's faith was the prime motivator behind his mission to see slavery abolished. Now, we see that come through in Amazing Grace, but not too overtly. How did you decide how much to show of his Christian conversion and his beliefs, and how much not to show?
Well, it shows it in full bloom, you might say. We didn't want to go back and deal with, have all the time for the conversion. We pick up Wilberforce midstream when his faith is very much in action. In fact, there's one scene where he is in the garden of his home, which we shot near Hampton Court, and he's marveling at God's handiwork in spider webs. He sits on the grass, and his butler says, "You found God, sir?" And Wilberforce says, "Well, I think God found me." And then he adds, "It's a bit inconvenient." And I think that is a very human scene, happens to many of us. We are inconvenient, so to speak, when God comes into our lives and turns everything upside down. And that's a very human way of putting it. So I think to have the dramatic moment could have happened. We had that in one script, but we just wanted to kind of jump to where the faith was in full bloom and he was really operating under God's influence. And there would be some people who every frame they would want to have a scripture in it.
Yeah, sure.
And that's okay. But in terms of cinematic storytelling, you have to have balance. So this, in a very strong way, was the practical telling of how in the world did Wilberforce accomplish what he did.
Mm. Well, the reviews are certainly very positive for the film. Some of the critics have said that there's no scene of black slaves being mistreated at all. And for such a key theme, slavery, why was that left out? Why was it?
We really thought a lot about that, and we're also considering having some terrible scenes of the slaves being mistreated at sea. And actually, when we got down to it, we felt the telling of it by Equiano, the former slave turned somewhat poster person for the anti-slave movement, Equiano's character, what other persons would say in Parliament, and we went down below decks of a slave ship to show the confinement and how bad it was. There's the scene where Clarkson dumps the shackles and chains on the dining room table at a dinner party to show how terrible they are and demonstrates it. So we felt by doing that and the scene where members of Parliament sail on a boat in the estuary and smell the stench of a recently arrived slave ship. And so we did all of that. And, of course, when you do that, too, you were able to keep the picture of PG. We would have gotten into PG-13 or maybe even R-rated material if we had attempted to try to show the horrific terribleness of the slave trade, and I'm not sure what we would have accomplished. I think you often can do more implicitly rather than explicitly, and each person of the audience adds to it their interpretation, and nobody gets disappointed.
Yeah. Ken, what do you think are the lessons we can draw out of Wilberforce's life that we can take on into our lives?
Indeed, yeah, anybody together with God can change the world. You have to have that vision and that focus of what you would do is constant prayer, being with God on one plane is very important. And it was, of course, would be like Churchill, never give up. Mm-hmm. And I've had some of that in my own life in terms of the 19 years it took to do the Christie series and other feature films like The Pink Panther, Islands in the Stream, East of Eden, etc. Making a film and telling a story is a long, arduous process and very nerve-wracking at times. And it does take a great sense of God's presence and grace to keep cool under a lot of fire.
Yeah. Ken, I'm assuming that you are a committed Christian yourself in the way that you're talking.
Well, indeed. I'm an elder in the church, and my dad was a pastor for 53 years. My mom, a school teacher like Christie.
Wow. How have you found being a Christian in Hollywood?
It's just fine in terms of my point of view. Many people know of my background and what I am, but it's amazing how often I bump heads with someone and we discover a common Christian background. But more so, I think that it's important that I hopefully do what I do with excellence and dedicatedness. That says more and preaches more of a sermon to anybody. When we were doing Christie in Tennessee, Great Smoky Mountains, later when I spoke a lot, a number of Christian groups would say, well, how many on the set and how many on the crew were Christian? And the answer to that is, I really don't know. But I do know that every day lives were changed. I think they were changed by the persons in our set and crew seeing a number of us under pressure, how we would handle situations, how we would be creative. And that was more of a sermon than anything that might have been preached.
And you would have worked with some interesting people, too. You talk about, producing Revenge of the Pink Panther. Did you meet Peter Sellers?
Oh, I did 5 pictures with Peter. Yeah. I know him very well.
Okay. And you've worked with Julie Andrews as well, I believe.
Indeed. I introduced Blake to Julie, and my dad married them. And they've been married 40 years, and I was best man at the wedding.
Is that right? Okay. So your little black book would be filled with very interesting people, I bet.
Well, Julie's the best. She's just the greatest, and Blake is such a talented director. I owe everything to him for my early instruction.
And so you get an opportunity to share your faith with these kinds of folks, you know, in the appropriate time?
Well, you do. And once again, it's more faith in action. Mm. It really is how you handle crises, how you handle situations, and really how you treat other people. If you treat other people with respect and kindness, that says more than anything you can preach.
Mm. And Ken, when it comes to Christians in Hollywood telling stories, that's very much what you're doing. You're a professional storyteller. Those people that aspire to maybe, you know, work in films, maybe not so much in Hollywood, but simply to get into the industry, what would you give them as far as tips are concerned for storytelling from a Christian perspective?
Well, that's a good point, Sheridan. I try to, number one, I teach at the University of Southern California, my alma mater, and where Walt Disney himself had paid my entire 5 years of cinema education on an early scholarship. And I try to return that by doing a lot of mentoring and helping young people as they begin their careers. And the course or the avenue that I teach very much is how to choose the right story to tell in the first place. That's where it all goes wrong. There are many people who have a burden or feel God has instructed them to tell a story, but maybe they haven't thought it through, really. It just may be exciting for them, but perhaps there's already been 10 pictures on that subject. If you open the newspaper, 80% of those films in there should never have been done. Bad choice.
Wow.
And the other 20% left over, bad execution.
Okay, that's quite something. Okay, so one tip on finding a really good story then?
Well, I think the story that you want to find, first of all, is one that resonates with your own life. Does it really interest you that much that you could be passionate about the arc of the main character? Does he go from here to there? Does he change? What happens? Is there a redemptive ending? There's a number of hallmarks along the way. And I always try to find something a little bit with a pre-awareness. Catherine Marshall's book had sold 8 million copies, been read by 40 million people. So they knew the story of Christie. The same thing here with John Newton, which I started on and shifted over to Wilberforce. So maybe it's still possible to do the Newton story.
Right.
And I'm going to be doing the sequel to Chariots of Fire next as well.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I hope we can get you on to talk about that a little bit closer to the time.
Well, there'd be a possibility of even shooting it in Australia.
Oh, okay. Well, that'd be good. We'll have to have you in the studio then. Ken, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
It's been a delight, and I look forward to hearing more about all the good things you're doing.
That's Ken Wales, who both a producer and actor in his own right, but what we're talking to him now about is his role as the co-producer of Amazing Grace, the film about the life of social rights activist William Wilberforce.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.